Welcome to the Shamba Shaper Podcast.
A podcast that is helpful to the farmer,
good for the nation,
and useful to you. I am Elias Ngotho, passionate about agriculture.
And I'm Maggie Wamboi, a lover of art and agriculture. Water is life, as we all know. For life to exist on Earth, water is needed.
Without water, food, livestock production is difficult, if not impossible, and that's why we have an expert who will help us in this discussion. Welcome, Mr. Mburu.
Thank you guys for having me. My name is Joseph Mburu. I am an agriculturalist. My area of study is in the relationship between soil and water in agriculture. Lack of water is becoming more serious due to population growth and climate change. In addition, rainy seasons seem to be less reliable, and dry spells have been longer and more common. Did you know that the United Nations says 20 African countries don't have enough water? This means that these countries do not have enough water for agriculture and other developments.
I hope Kenya is not on that list.
Unfortunately, it's on the list, and this should worry us.
And that is why rainwater harvesting is one of the best and easiest way we can use to increase the water that is available to us to improve livelihood and support agriculture production.
It is sad to see that whenever it rains, most of the water from the rain just flows into rivers, lakes, and the Indian Ocean.
And all that water is wasted. But there are ways we can collect and use it.
And that is why we are here today, talking about rainwater harvesting. So, Elias, do you know what rainwater harvesting is?
Let me try. It is the method or way in which we collect and store rainwater for our day-to-day uses, including farming.
Correct. By increasing the amount of water that gets into the soil, farmers can raise their chances of a good harvest, even if the rain ends early. For farmers in dry lands, it can make a difference between harvesting a crop and losing it.
Can you explain some of the ways that farmers can best collect rainwater?
There are four different ways we can harvest rainwater for farming. The first one is trapping water where it falls and letting it soak into the soil. The second one is building simple structures that will hold the water so that it doesn't flow away. The third way of harvesting rainwater is done by trapping water in one place and directing it to a place where it can be stored or held, like homestead storage tank. The fourth way we can harvest rainwater is to a certain extent like the second method we mentioned above, where you get water from one place and then take it to another place. However, in most cases, this involves trapping a large amount of water and directing it to a far off place where it will be used. So, in our podcast today, we shall only discuss the first three and leave out the fourth one. This is because the fourth method requires a high level of skills and also a high level of financial investment.
Then let us just focus on what small-scale farmers can easily practice.
So where do we start?
I would suggest that we start with the first system we talked about earlier, which is trapping water and letting it soak into the soil so that it can be easily used by the crops. One method to do this is by heaping soil or growing certain types of plants along the contour, which slows the water, giving it time to soak into the soil.
I was a member of the 4K club in school, and most of the time there was no one to water the plants. So we dug trenches or mitaros and placed the soil on the upper side to form ridges across the slope. Then this held water, which entered the soil slowly for the benefit of the crops.
I am glad you have done it before. When we introduce structures like terraces, we reduce erosion and retain the amount of moisture in the soil for our crops.
And what about retention ditches?
Retention ditches are mitaros or trenches dug across a slope, but in this case, the soil is placed down below the trench. The water gets into the ditch and is held inside it, where it stays and enters the soil slowly for the benefit of the crops.
Earlier on, you had mentioned growing of certain crops along the contour. Can you explain further?
Water flowing down the slope picks up soil, and when it reaches these grasses, it slows down. The soil particles settle out, but most of the water enters into the soil.
So where does conservation agriculture fall in all this?
I was getting to that. This is what we call good farming practice. There are three areas of conservation agriculture that are important when thinking about managing water. One is the minimum or reduced tillage. The second aspect is mulching. And the third is crop diversification and crop rotation. Minimum tillage practices involve reduced soil disturbance during land preparation, planting, and weeding. The soil that is not disturbed forms a natural barrier, reducing the flow of water and allowing it to get into the soil. Mulching is a practice where we cover the soil surface with organic material. This helps protect the soil from raindrops, which carry away the topsoil, and also helps prevent the water inside the soil from being lost to the air.
Wow, I now understand the importance of mulching when we cover the soil surface. This works as a layer of protection, slowing the flow of water on the soil surface while also preventing loss of water to the air.
Another example of good farming practice is contour farming.
Tell us how it helps with water conservation.
Contour farming involves all farming activities such as land preparation, planting, and weeding being done across the slope rather than up and down the slope, resulting in little ridges and furrows. The ridges create a rough soil surface, and crops grown along the contour act as a barrier, slowing down the water and allowing more of it to enter into the soil.
I can see how this is also a form of water harvesting because it allows water to enter the soil and be used by the crops.
That is absolutely true. I am so happy that you both know so much about measures that are used to save water in the soil.
This is the Shamba Shape Up podcast, a podcast that is helpful to the farmer,
good for the nation,
and useful to you. And what about in arid and semi-arid areas where it does not rain much? Are there special ways the water can be harvested and stored?
Yes, there are. And that is what I'm about to talk about. In these areas, there's a technology known as runoff farming. Have you heard of it, Maggie?
Yes, I have. Here, runoff water in that system is harvested from the uncropped area and they are directed to where the crops are grown.
Good. Here we have two examples of runoff farming systems. The first system involves farmers making square-shaped formations or structures on the slopes by heaping soil on the four edges of the structure. One corner of the square is at the lowest point at which a pit is dug for planting trees. On one corner of the square is at the lowest point at which a pit is dug for planting trees. When rain falls into these structures, the water is directed where the hole has been dug and trees planted. They come in different sizes depending on the type of tree to be planted and the amount of rainfall in the area. The second runoff farming system is planting pits.
I have seen these planting pits, and I was amused when I was told that they are also called Katumani pits.
These are small basins that can be used to plant an annual or perennial crop. In regions with less rainfall, this is among the most basic methods of harvesting rainwater. They can be used to grow crops such as sorghum, maize, sweet potatoes, bananas, and so on. The planting pits are best for soils that don't easily allow water, such as silt and clay. Sandy soils, which easily allow water to pass through, are not very suitable because they cannot be able to hold water for the crop, which is likely to dry up. One common example of the use of pit water harvesting method is by planting Napier grass. When preparing the pit for planting Napier grass, make holes 60 centimeters by 60 centimeters and 60 centimeters deep. While doing this, one should separate the topsoil from the bottom soil. Then add 1 debe of farmyard manure and 10 grams of a balanced NPK fertilizer before returning the topsoil into the pit. After this, you'll plant 10 to 10 Napier canes cuttings into each of the pits. It is reported that by using this method, farmers are able to harvest as much as 2 times what they normally harvest when they use the normal planting method without the pits.
This is the Shamba Shape Up podcast, a podcast that is helpful to the farmer,
good for the nation,
and useful to you.
Okay, now let's go to what most farmers know, the systems where rainwater is harvested and stored for many uses.
In this system, you need an area where rain falls, and you need a way to direct it to another place where the water will be stored.
Small-scale farmers can harvest rainwater from rooftops, homesteads, homestead yards, and other surfaces.
Yes. Unlike in the system where harvested rainwater is used where it falls and is only used for growing crops, in this system, the water can be used for other purposes. You need an area where rain falls, and you need a way to direct it to another place where the water will be stored.
What are some of the most common methods in this category that are used by the small-scale farmers?
There are 2 common types of rainwater harvesting in small-scale farms. These are lined farm ponds and roof catchments.
You are absolutely right, Maggie. Which one would you like us to start with?
Let's start with farm ponds, which I find interesting. What is a farm pond?
Farm ponds are made by digging soil from the ground for the purpose of storing surface runoff generated from a catchment area. The size and depth of a pond is decided on the basis of how much water it is expected to hold. Apart from growing crops, a farm pond can be used to provide water for home use, for rearing fish, and for livestock farming.
And where will the water to fill the pond come from?
Ponds are filled by rainwater that flows into them over the surface, including from grazing or uncultivated area on the farm. But some farmers are innovative and are directing runoff water from roads into their ponds.
Okay, now, apart from digging the farm pond, what other issues should the farmer be aware of?
There are some important points the farmer should take into account when putting up a farm pond. One of these is controlling the amount of soil and other particles, also known as sediments, from entering the pond. Sediment control helps to keep away soil particles from entering the pond and therefore keeping the storage size of the pond for a long time. We can filter the water or slow the speed of the incoming water so that any particles, any sediment it is carrying, are left outside the pond. This can be done by making silt traps along the inlet channel. For a simple silt trap, lay stones across the water paths to form small check dams on the inlet channel.
I learned that perennial crops, which are crops grown for more than 2 years, especially grasses with good root system, can also be planted between check dams to encourage silt to settle on the channel away from the pond.
Yes, indeed, Maggie. In addition, if the pond is likely to get too much water, you must allow the excess to get out. The main reason for this is to prevent the walls of the pond from being broken by sudden increase of inflow into the pond. It is also good to safeguard the farm pond bank from erosion, wave action, animals, and other possible threats. This is done by planting a perennial crop like grass on top of the bank. If you fail to do this, the pond will have a short lifespan and costly to maintain. Do not forget to fence. This prevents livestock overgrazing on the banks of the pond, while it gives cover to prevent silt from entering the pond. To reduce the amount of water lost through seepage, it may be necessary to line the pond. There are several ways of lining a farm pond. They include by sealing with clay and water mixture, called grouting, by lining with cement mortar, by lining with stone masonry, and by use of a plastic liner. Plastic liners are more commonly used because they are easy to transport, install, and can last between 5 to 10 years. Finally, let us talk about a very common method of rainwater harvesting, both in the low rainfall and high rainfall areas: rooftop water harvesting.
It is very common to see people harvesting water from rooftops. This is so widespread. So how do we best collect water from the rooftop?
For you to get this water, you'll need a catchment such as a roof to catch the rainwater. The roof should be made up of a hard material that does not absorb the rain. Metal sheets, tiles, and most plastics are okay for use. Gutters will take the water to the storage tank. This is how you maintain the system. Check the whole system now and then. Clean it regularly and do minor repairs required to the catchment, the delivery system, and the storage vessel.
Also, remove all hanging tree branches on roofs, leaves and debris, as well as the droppings of birds and small animals, as they can contaminate the water.
And the gutters and the pipes should be cleaned at least once a year.
The water quality in the storage tank should be checked regularly and treated.
And make sure that there's no opening that allows small animals to enter into the storage tank.
In short, it is necessary to check, clean, and repair or replace screens and filters. If they are not looked after well, they can be a source of water contamination.
Also, remove trees growing near the storage tank to protect the ground it stands on from damage or cracking from the roots as they search for moisture.
So, as the long-awaited rain starts to fall, be ready to harvest rainwater for your farm to raise livestock and crop production.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mboro, for joining us in this particular episode. It has been a very educative session.
Yes.
Dear listener, if you would like more details on any of the technologies or techniques that we've talked about, call iShamba on 0711-082-606. You can also send an SMS. The SMS number is 21606. Until next time,
bye-bye.